Do you love Chihuahuas? Maybe you're wondering if the Chihuahua is the right dog for you.
Perhaps you have a training or a behaviour struggle.
Barking.
Reactivity.
Aggression.
Toileting in the house.
Are you wondering how to socialise your tiny Chihuahua puppy?
Well, look no further.
Here you will find expert opinions, honest views, guest interviews by leading experts in the canine industry, and
training and behaviour advice by two qualified, experienced and professional dog trainers who specialise in small breeds. I'm Kate.
And I'm Hayley. And this is the Chihuahua Podcast. Welcome back to the Chihuahua Podcast. I'm Hayley, I'm your host, and I'm with Kate, who's also your host. She's with me. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Kate's looking amazing today. She's got a lovely little braid in. It's really cute. And I'm feeling very windswept because I've just come in from outside.
I would say it's the power of a filter, but I think I've just got, I need to clean my camera. So this week we are going to bring you what to do if you have an incident with your dog. An incident.
Yeah, negative.
Like or a bad incident.
Well, yeah, bad incidents or negative, something negative or traumatic or not very nice happened to your dog or you and your dog. So Kate, do you want to tell us or start off by telling us what happened last week?
Yeah, it was last week.
Little dog.
Typically, it happened just after we recorded the episode on the big dogs and the small dogs, and how I said, "Oh no, it's you see both." And then when I was walking my two, we got ran at by two Jack Russells off the lead with zero recall, and then they proceeded to attack my dogs. And it wasn't just a little attack; it was they were shaking them like they would do a rabbit. And it was horrible. There was nothing I could really do to stop the situation. If it had been one on its own, I probably could have, because there were two. If I handled one, the other one would start, and it wasn't fun. And
that sounds horrendous. Yeah, and really, when you've got small dogs, that is your kind of like worst nightmare, isn't it?
And I think what everybody that I've spoken to with small dogs, it's something we all think about, isn't it? Like, I'm always very conscious of other dogs attacking my dogs because they're so small.
Yeah, I was literally hiding yesterday. We had a big walk and I took both of them with me. We were on the common and it's a large area, and there's a lot of distance away from other dogs. There's only a few there, but there was a lurcher walking up the hill. And it was on lead, but I thought any moment you're going to let your lurcher off lead. And if your lurcher sees, especially Bo, little, dark brown thing hopping about, you're going to think she's a rabbit. Definitely. So we hid. I hid behind all the gorse. And I was like, look, we're doing like scatter feeding and stuff. And
yeah,
I was there ready with my lead to put on the, because I was so aware and I was looking behind me and I probably looked like a mad person, but. That's what it's like having a small dog, isn't it?
The crazy lady hiding in the hedge. That is,
yeah.
Just like having a small dog.
But your dogs were attacked by small dogs. I know they're 10 of the terriers, but yeah.
Yeah, and their behaviour was very, very terrier. You know, the way they came in was very predatory, and the way they shook them, very terrier. Well, it was Chloe that actually got the worst of it, because I had Casper in my arms, but even then they were jumping up. At one point, one of them was hanging off his tail.
Oh God, nightmare.
Ugh, it was absolutely a nightmare. I was lucky in a way that they were small, because if that had been a bigger dog, there would have been the end of Chloe probably. But fortunately, she's fine and everybody's fine. But it is a worry, isn't it, of having the small dogs? And I know, like our listeners in America, they have to worry about birds of prey.
Yes, they do. That must be also very stressful. But I'm glad Chloe's okay. And Kate messaged me, like, she said, "Oh my God, I can't believe what's happened." And I just couldn't believe it. But we were a little bit concerned about Chloe, weren't we? Or you were about some maybe lumps that came up on her side or something, was it? But maybe she was just bruised.
She is. And I wanted to talk to you about this because what I did immediately afterwards is really important in that I got her distracted and started playing a little game with her. And there's been studies done on humans on and it's to do with Candy Crush. If you look at a study done Candy Crush or Tetris after traumatic events has been shown to reduce the impact of the traumatic event if it's played within a 6-hour period after the traumatic event, and it can help reduce the impact of that. So I like threw some treats for her and made her play chase with the treats and did some scatter feeding for everybody.
So the attack happened. And did they call their dogs off, or did the dogs run off, or how did it stop?
Stop because the owners actually had to come and get their dogs. They had zero recall on them at all, like nothing.
Yeah, train your small dogs, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they came and fetched them, and then once we'd got out of the way, everybody had gone their separate ways, then I just started doing some chase the treats with Chloe.
Yeah, still on the walk
feeding with Casper, still on the walk.
Cool, okay. Because not many people would do that, would they? They would just go, let's get you home, blah blah blah, and let's get you home. And understandably, it does shake you up, doesn't it? Because you were probably feeling really like in shock as well. So you did some scatter feeding and tossed some treats around, and then what?
We just kept walking after that.
Went home and had a glass of wine.
We actually carried on walking for another 45 minutes, because even though immediately afterwards I was like not in a great place and I just wanted to go home, but I was very aware that I didn't want the dogs to be like, oh god, walking's terrifying, and I wanted them to return to normal.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so we did another we carried on walking for like 45 minutes, and because initially, straight afterwards, they were very hypervigilant and really like looking to see if there was anything coming out the bushes. But towards the end of the walk, they'd calmed down a lot more. They recovered a lot quicker than I did, to be fair.
Yeah, They often do, don't they? Unless they're physically injured. But that's good. So, and I guess walks to continue to walk rather than go home and worry and stuff, and just continue to walk and just kind of walk it off, probably helped them and you walk off the adrenaline, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Because the last thing I wanted to, even though I really wanted to pick them up and be like, oh, my babies, and make a fuss of them and stuff, I tried to just act really normal. Got Chloe playing with the treats and got Casper and Maisie doing the scatter feeding, because even though Maisie wasn't attacked, she was really hyped. So I just got their noses down and got Chloe doing the little chase, the treats, and then just tried to be very normal.
That's good. And it kind of almost, not that we are doing it for that, but because we're kind of making it a non thing, like, oh yeah, that happened, but let's just move on and let's just carry on. And it wasn't such a big deal. Like, you sort of say to them, like, you know, it's like that pilot when you're on a plane and there's like loads of turbulence and stuff and you're really worried, and the air stewardess or the air steward is coming around like looking like nothing is going to bother them, and you feel better, don't you?
Yes.
Like, well, if they're not worried, I shouldn't be worried. It's exactly. Different when it's happening at the time, but like afterwards, like, yeah, it happened, but let's just move on.
Exactly. And I really tried to just be normal for them as well, because like that scenario, you want your dog should look to you for protection, and like if you're feeling okay, then they're going to pick up on that as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, everything's fine. Even though I was like, everything is not fine.
just be a good actor. Be a good actor for your dog. It is annoying though, isn't it? I mean, what's more than annoying? It's so dangerous. I'm assuming that these dogs just came in and just assumed that they were not dogs.
Yeah, the way they came after them, they weren't. They weren't coming at them like they were dogs. They were coming at them like they were rabbits. And the annoying thing is, I could see them at a long distance away. So I called my guys and we actually turned in the other direction, and they made a beeline for us as soon as I recalled mine. God. Their owners had zero control. Really annoying. And I know I'm not alone, because so many small dog people have had their dogs attacked, haven't they?
They have. And it is just one of those things where we just have to keep drumming on about it. You know, if you haven't got 100%, and I know that we don't have completely 100% recall with our dogs all the time, but some level of recall around distractions, around other dogs. And we just have to keep drumming on about it, don't we? Like, if your dog's not got a recall around other dogs, just keep them on the long line. I mean, they've got the same amount of freedom, really, on a really nice long line.
Yeah. And it's just so irritating, isn't it? Because we do so much work, and like our clients do as well. It's so much work to keep to give your dog happy experiences, to teach them that other dogs aren't a problem. And then something like this happens and you're like, God,
split second, and like completely not ruined, but all your hard work could potentially be out the window. Yeah, yes. it is really annoying. And yesterday I was hypervigilant, but in a calm way. Hiding from this lurcher, because I think what it is you have to be, we come back to your recovery in a minute, but you have to be 20 seconds ahead of your dog, not 10, 20, you know what, and imagine what the worst case scenario would be. Like, if you have your dogs off lead, if they saw another dog, would they go and attack it? And if there's any inkling of your dog assuming that a small dog might be a rabbit, or you know, then you keep your dog on and you can't recall your dog away, and you haven't practiced and you haven't drilled and you haven't put the reps in, then you keep your dog on a long line. But that's just, you know, that's maybe that's more of like a trainer view, not a dog owner view, but it should be the norm. But
unfortunately, it is not.
Getting passionate now.
I know. Yes. It really, really pisses me off.
Because that could have gone very, very wrong. wronger.
You could have gone much more. Yeah, it was
yeah, great. Poor Chloe. I mean, how is she now, how is she with the,
fortunately, with she's walking? Absolutely fine. Like, we didn't go out for like 4 days afterwards, so we went around the farm and the garden and stuff, but yeah, I intentionally didn't go anywhere where I knew there potentially could be other people. And since then, we've been out on normal walks with other dogs and other people, and she's been absolutely fine. Like, she doesn't even care.
Fantastic.
So she's recovered nicely.
Do you think that's in part because of what you did? Well, it must have been, mustn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So with this study then, this study is really important, isn't it? Because I know that the dog trainer, the famous dog trainer, Susan Garrett, was talking about it. That when she was talking about traumatic events and using play, yes, as a way of kind of combating the trauma, as it were.
Even though the study was, obviously it was done on people because they were, yeah, using Tetris and Candy Crush, we can take something from it. So the study showed that playing within a 6-hour window of an accident or a traumatic event, so it reduced the number of intrusive memories. And we were just saying, I don't know if that two dogs have intrusive memories, but it reduced the impact of the trauma. And another important thing is, after a traumatic event, is not to sleep, because sleeping, your brain will process that memory and then it will be more ingrained in your memory, if that makes sense. Like, when you're learning something new, if you sleep on it, and then you're better to start again fresh. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it does. It does. Because when we're talking to client, when I'm with a client, well, we're with clients, it's latent learning, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's latent learning. Yeah. So we'll do a client session, and then we'll say, oh, she's probably going to be tired now, and just let her chill and just let her sleep, because that will help the learning, and that will help ingrain the learning that she's just
same concept.
And that is exactly the same. I didn't think about that. It's all learning, isn't it?
It is all learning. Yeah, so
crazy. Would it be helpful then if you did something, so would it be something that the dog likes to do? So any play? Is it more play type stuff?
Any play, whatever their favourite thing is. So, yeah, if they like tug, play tug. They like chasing, do chasing, whatever their thing is.
So Kiri's would be, she loves to chase treats. So like Chloe, so chase some treats around. Bo loves to use her nose and do some tricks. So maybe practice some tricks or something like that.
Yeah, that's Caspi's favourite, is like to do scent work or tricks. And Maisie's favourite thing is hand target. That makes her really happy when she does that. So yeah, just doing something else.
So your favourite thing basically. So something that makes the dog feel good and is normal, and something that the dog does every day that makes it feel good.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get my head around it. Because I guess for the people, if they play Candy Crush and they're used to playing Candy Crush and they like playing Candy Crush, and just doing something that...
It's refocusing the brain, isn't it?
It's taking
your mind off the experience and focusing on something else.
It does make perfect sense. And then I guess after you've done that, then it's about because we do talk about decompression, don't we, after a traumatic event as well, and to prevent something called trigger stacking, which might occur after that. So I guess it's then about, like you said before, I didn't take her very far for a few week walks afterwards. I just kept her on the farm or kept her world quite small.
Because even though we did the playing and stuff, it's like if something happens to us and then something else happens and something else happens, you get to the point where you just can't take it anymore. So it's the same with dogs. So if something, even though they recovered nicely, if I had then taken them out the next day and something else had happened, not necessarily that, but, you know, something had scared them, then that's just adding to the previous event and they could end up being trigger stacked.
And trigger stacking is it can be quite common when it comes to dog bites and dogs biting out of the blue, in quotation marks. So you see a lot of this where, and I think we've probably talked about this before, where people will say, oh, well, he's never done that before, or he's never bitten anyone before. I can't understand why he's bitten out of the blue. And then you look back a couple of days before the incident happened and the dog was scared with fireworks, he went to the vets or groomers, then something else happened, all these sort of like traumatic events, and then they had visitors around with kids and the dog didn't have time to decompress, his cortisol levels were sky high and he couldn't take any more and he bit. Whereas normally if it was just having the visitors with the kids around as a standalone event, he would have coped with that. But having all these little events lead up to that, piling pressure and stress on the dog, and then this event, that's what can cause that trigger stacking and can cause things like biting out of the blue.
Yeah. And people will be able to relate to this, won't they? Because it happens to us, doesn't it? All the time.
Oh, God, all the time.
That's how you end up getting burnout because... Mm. You don't allow yourself time to decompress.
So it's a bit like when you get up, so for like a typical day, this is how trigger stacking can work in humans. This is very basic, but so you get up late and you're late for work. As you get out of bed, you stub your toe. So you're late for work, you're really stressed, you stub your toe, you feel really bad about that. And then you burn your toast, you feel really bad about that. That's extra stress. Then you get stuck in a traffic jam all the way to work. That's more stress, probably road rage as well. You get to work, you do something wrong, your boss shouts at you, and then you get stuck in traffic on the way back home, and you've coped all the way, and you're like, oh, it's just stressful, it's stressful, it's stressful. And then you literally, like, you drop a cup with some, like a drop a cup of tea or something on the floor, and then you burst into tears. And it's not the dropping the cup of tea or the glass of wine on the floor. It's not that at all. It's all of the stressful events leading up to it. It's that straw that breaks the camel's back, isn't it? It's that last straw.
Yeah, it's what it's like for dogs. And then you have an argument about who ate the last biscuit.
Yeah, and that, like, you burst into tears for something completely, and then your partner or your friends go, "What are you crying about? A biscuit? It's not the biscuit. It's not that. No, it's all this other stuff." Yeah, that's a better example: crying over biscuits than dropping a glass of wine. But it's the same for our dogs, you know, how much can they cope with? We've got to understand that if they have a negative experience or traumatic event like Chloe getting pounced on by those terriers, then, you know, that what impact is that going to have over the coming days? So it's really important to be aware of that.
If you have any questions about this episode or anything that we've talked about, you can reach Hayley at Halo Pups and you can reach me at Carry On Canine. You can reach the Chihuahua Podcast Facebook page. And as usual, please like, follow, subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. Tell your friends and we'll see you in the next episode.
See you next time. Bye.